So this morning, I want to talk with you about closet walls. Closet walls. I'm interested, before we begin, how many of you have walls in your closet? How many of you have walls in your closet? Anybody in here not have walls in your closet? All right, I've got a confession to make. I have a closet in my house in the basement that part of the wall is missing this morning. Can I tell you why it's missing? So yesterday I got a call from my wife, and she told me that one of our sons was walking in one of the rooms downstairs in the basement, and he stepped in a wet patch. And so when I got the call, they weren't sure what was going on. I encouraged them to look at the plumbing and to check that out to see maybe if there was a connection to what was going on in one of the bathrooms. And lo and behold, they went into the closet of one of the rooms that was next to the bathroom. And there in that closet, there was some plumbing, there was some piping, and they saw some water oozing out of the plumbing pipes in the closet, next to the closet wall. And so I got another call, and my wife said she's going to call the plumber. And so the plumber comes out, and he goes into the closet where the plumbing is, where the water's leaking next to the closet wall. And he begins to just kind of finagle with it, you know, tap it with a hammer. My wife's probably watching. He's got to make sure that she thinks he's actually doing something. And so he's tapping around there, and he touches the pipe in the wrong place, evidently, because it bust open. And it wasn't just water that bust open, it was sewage water that busted open in his face, maybe in his mouth, and all over the room that it was in. Why are you laughing that all of this happened to me yesterday and our family? It's been rough. So I'm not even going to go into the details of what was on the wall in the closet and why the wall had to be cut out and why I'm missing a wall in my closet. But I'm kind of glad I'm missing a wall in my closet, because I think it's true, isn't it, that a lot of us really do have walls in our closet that people aren't even aware of. Would you agree maybe that there are some areas in your life you may not even be aware of them? You may not even be aware of the walls in your closet that are causing, well, it could cause division in your family, or there might be some walls in your closet that are keeping you from experiencing the fullness of God's power and grace and love in your life. So I want you to just go there with me for a moment, not to my closet down there. You wouldn't want to go there. It still smells a little bit. But I want you to go to the closets of your life. And I want you to ask the question to God. That's all prayer is. It's just asking God and talking to Him and listening to Him. You don't even have to close your eyes or bow your head. You can just right now with me, and I'm doing it in this moment, okay? God, are there any walls in my closet that need to be cut out, that need to be broke down, that are causing division with anybody in my family or other people, and more importantly, that are keeping me from experiencing the fullness of your Spirit, the fullness of your love, the fullness of your presence? And if there are, God, would you show me? Are you in agreement with that prayer? And even if you're not in agreement with that prayer, that's okay. I'm glad that you're here. And even that wall is not surmountable by the grace of God. And so I would just encourage you to be open to being open to talking to Him about those walls. So the passage that we're going to look at today, in light of walls in our closet, is Acts chapter 10. We're going to go all the way through Acts chapter 10 into chapter 11, all the way to verse 18. It's a pretty long section, but listen, it is so important that we read that entire section. First and foremost, because it's God's revelation to us. It's what He's revealed to us to know about Him, about ourselves, about people, about the way to know him and grow in him. And here's what's interesting about this long section that is well worth our time to read, is that it really repeats the same thing about three times. So when people repeat things, it's because they're trying to make emphasis. And remember, the Dr. Luke is writing the book of Acts under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he only had a limited amount of things that he could write about. Why would the Holy Spirit of God write this same event basically three times in this section? It means there's emphasis, there's a point that's being made, and so it may sound a little redundant at times, but recognize that there's major truth that God wants us to know this morning. So let me set you up for this passage. I just turned there in your Bible, or you take out the outline that you received when you got here, or you can open up the Bible on your device, on your phone, or on your iPad. But here, you're going to learn a little bit more about Peter. Remember, Peter was one of the apostles, one of the followers of Jesus, disciples of Jesus, who was a leader in the early church. Peter should have known better by now. We're in chapter 10 of the book of Acts. Peter, remember, had spent 3 years with Jesus. You would think he learned every lesson there was to learn. Not only had he spent 3 years with Jesus, he had experienced Pentecost. He had experienced the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. He was the one that preached the sermon when thousands of people came to know the Lord. He saw God at work, and still, listen, he had walls, just like you and I. Even the Christian superstars, I'm sorry if I spit on you, forgive me. I hope it didn't get on the baby. I don't think I'm sick, it's just allergies. All right, even the Christians, I can spit on my wife, even the Christian superstars, even the Christian superstars like Peter still had walls in his closet. And so I doubt that there's anybody here this morning who doesn't. And so are you open to those walls being broken down? So let's pray as we prepare our hearts, and then we're going to read this long section. It might take 5 minutes to read it, but that's okay. It really is worth our time. So let me pray, and then we'll read. Father, thank you for revealing yourself to us and your ways to us, your word to us. Thank you for not leaving us to ourselves to understand it and to even hear it and listen to it. Thank you for giving us the Holy Spirit. And we pray even in this moment that you would fill us with the Spirit, that your Spirit would awaken souls. Lord, reveal any walls, even in closets, of our lives so that relationships can be restored and mended and healed and never be divided again. And Lord, I pray above all that we would all grow in our relationship with you. Maybe even the person who might be here who doesn't know you yet, who's walled you off from their life. Lord, help them to see, reveal to them how good you are and how much you love them. I pray these things in Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand with me so you don't fall asleep as we read? And out of reverence of reading God's word, verse 1. At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius. He was a centurion of what was known as the Italian cohort, a devout man who feared God with all of his household. He gave alms generously to the people and prayed continually to God. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God come in and say to him, Cornelius. And he stared at him in terror and said, What is it, Lord? And he said to him, Your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and bring one Simon who is called Peter. He is lodging with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. When the angel who spoke to him had departed, he called two of his servants and a devout soldier from among those who attended him. And having related everything to them, he sent them to Joppa. The next day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the housetop about the sixth hour to pray. And he became hungry and wanted something to eat. But while they were preparing it, he fell into a trance and saw the heavens opened and something like a great sheet descending, being let down by its four corners upon the earth. In it were all kinds of animals and reptiles and birds of the air. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "By no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." And the voice came to him again a second time, "What God has made clean, do not call common." This happened three times, and the thing was taken up at once to heaven. Now while Peter was inwardly perplexed as to what the vision that he had seen might mean, behold, the men who were seen by Cornelius, having made inquiry for Simon's house, stood at the gate and called out to ask whether Simon, who was called Peter, was lodging there. And while Peter was pondering the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Behold, three men are looking for you. Rise and go down and accompany them without hesitation, for I have sent them." And Peter went down to the men and said, "I am the one you are looking for. What is the reason for your coming?" And they said, "Cornelius, a centurion, an upright and God-fearing man, who is well spoken of by the whole Jewish nation, was directed by a holy angel to send for you to come to his house and to hear what you have to say." So he invited them in to be his guest. The next day he rose and went away with them, and some of the brothers from Joppa accompanied him. And on the following day they entered Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. When Peter entered, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshiped him. But Peter lifted him up, saying, "Stand up, I too am a man." And as he talked with him, he went in and found many persons gathered. And he said to them, "You yourselves know how unlawful it is for a Jew to associate with or to visit anyone of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any person common or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without objection. I asked then why you sent for me." And Cornelius said, "Four days ago, about this hour, I was praying in my house at the ninth hour, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, 'Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms have been remembered before God. Send therefore to Joppa and ask for Simon, who is called Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner, by the sea.' So I sent for you at once, and you have been kind enough to come. Now, therefore, we are all here in the presence of God to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord." So Peter opened his mouth and said, "Truly I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee, after the baptism that John proclaimed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and made him to appear not to all the people, but to us who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." While Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. And the believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed, because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles, for they were hearing them speak in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter declared, "Can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to remain for some days. Chapter 11, verse 1 through 18, tells the same story, just in a summary fashion. So you can be seated. It's interesting, isn't it? Peter, this Jewish man, who was in so many ways proud of his Jewishness, just like we can be proud of our heritage, our ethnicity, our culture. Now, for someone like me, it's a little bit easier since I'm all mixed up. So when I think about my heritage and my background, I think about my European, my African, and my Indian background. And so in some sense, over the last 200, 300 years, I've got roots that go back to Europe, roots that go back to Africa, and roots that hang around here in Gadsden in terms of the Cherokee roots. But all of us go back even further than that, don't we? To the first man. All of our roots go past 200, 300, 500, 2,000 years to the first human being. And so we're all made by God, and we're all, in that sense, his children by creation. There's a greater childhood that can come, a greater sonship, but by creation, we're his children. And so literally, we're on equal ground and equal standing before God, and we all need him. And Peter couldn't get over that. And it's hard for some of us to get over that, too. Some of the closet walls that we still have been erected by the ways that we've been raised, by the culture that we've swam in, by the ethnicity, by the race, by the people we've hung around. That shapes the way that we think. That shapes the way that we think about music and think about learning and think about food and think about a whole lot of different things. You'll even see the way that it shaped the way that Peter thought about food today. And so Peter, again, after 3 years of being with Jesus, after experiencing the fullness of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, after being used by God mightily, still had some closet walls. And here's one of them. And here's how he overcomes it. You ready? There was a man who was a Roman centurion. You know what a Roman centurion is? A Roman centurion is a soldier. I got a picture for you, just in case that helps you to wrap your mind around it. This is a Roman centurion. A centurion is one who was over at least 100 men. So this guy, Cornelius was his name. Cornelius was a leader. And as a military leader and soldier, he would, of course, been strong and courageous. A real man's man, you might say. But here's what's interesting about Cornelius, this Gentile, this non-Jew, this person who was different ethnically and culturally and in every way, really, except for his humanity, than Peter. Cornelius was a God-fearing man, even though he had not yet entered into salvation. He feared God. He respected God. He was a good man. He even gave alms or charity. He was a giving, generous man, and all the Jewish people knew it, and all the Romans knew it. And guess what? This was evidence of God's work and God's grace in his life pre-salvation. And so he's praying, Cornelius is, and an angel comes to him and says, Cornelius, your prayers have been heard. Can God hear the prayers of someone who has not yet entered in the fullness of his salvation? Well, Cornelius's prayers were heard. Not only were his prayers heard, the angel told him that God has received your prayers and your alms, and they are a pleasing memorial to him. What a memorial, right? I mean, we think about memorials on earth, but the angel tells Cornelius that there was a memorial in heaven because of the type of man he was, and God heard him. You know why? Because God has revealed himself to some degree to all people. You know that, right? God has revealed himself to all people in some way through creation, in their conscience. And we hope to get the canon of Scripture, the revelation that's been written to them, and through Christ, which is what's going to happen. But if a person responds rightly to the revelation that they receive in nature and through their conscience, and if they respond to that rightly, then God will get the gospel to them through a human being. It's what you see in this story. And so Cornelius is praying, the angel comes and says, Cornelius, there's a man who's a city away or two from you. He's in Joppa. You're in Caesarea. I want you to send some people and go get that man. His name is Peter, Simon Peter, and I want you to bring him here to you. And so look at this humble, obedient, not yet entered in the full salvation of God, man who gets some of his servants and soldier, and he sends them to Joppa to go get Peter. And when the men are on their way to get Peter, Peter's praying. Now, Peter's praying as a man who has entered into the fullness of God's salvation. And he, in the midst of prayer on the rooftop of the house that he's staying in, Simon the Tanner's house, gets hungry. You ever got hungry while you were praying? You can't get hungry while you're praying. That's too spiritual. No, sometimes you get hungry when you pray, and he tells the people, hey, can you fix me something to eat while I pray? I'm not making it up. We just read it. Go back and look at it later. And then as they're preparing the food, I don't know what it was. It wasn't bacon yet, and it could have been eggs. And so they're making the food, and it says that Peter falls into a trance. And in the trance, he was so hungry, guess what he dreamed about? Food, animals, but not the kind that he was expecting. Because in this trance with Peter on the roof, there's a sheet, a blanket. I wish I brought a blanket. You know what a sheet is. You slept on one last night, probably, unless you slept on the floor. There was a sheet that came down in this vision from God. It came down from heaven by four corners, and on the sheet or on the blanket, there were animals. The problem is that they were unclean animals in Peter's mind. It was like, I don't know, you know, for Peter, a Jewish man who had been taught, even in the Old Testament, to eat kosher, it had, maybe there was a pig. Maybe there was a pig in a blanket. And so for Peter, these pigs in a blanket were unacceptable. They were unclean. But then a voice came and said, Peter, if I say it's clean, it's clean. Don't call anything unclean that I call clean. If something is acceptable to me, the voice says, it ought to be acceptable to you. And guess how many times it took for Peter to get that, even with the trance and the vision? He's pretty stubborn, like some of us. He had some walls in his closet that he was holding on to. And maybe you're holding on to some walls in your closet this morning. And if you are, I want to encourage you to let them be cut out. Let any walls in your soul, I don't know what they are, but you probably know. You may not know, because many of the walls that we have, we're ignorant of. And sometimes it takes a busted pipe with sewage to splatter on those walls for us to realize they need to be broken down. It's true, isn't it? And so I'm interested, are there any, should I say it? I'm thinking about saying it. I think I will. I'll sanitize it. Are there any poop marks on your walls in your closet that you see, that other people can probably see, and that we can all smell, even in this room? If so, let the Spirit of God speak to your soul and let them down. Cut them out. There's no reason for you to have walls in the closet. Just let him in. So There's the pigs in the blanket. And it takes three times for Peter to get it. Three times. Three is a number that often comes up in Peter's life, isn't it? And eventually, the Holy Spirit says, Peter, there's some people downstairs in the house, and I want you to let them in, and they're going to tell you what I want you to do, and I want you to do it. And finally, Peter, you know, initially he's like, no, Lord, I can't eat pigs in a blanket. You never say no, Lord, right? It doesn't even make sense. No, Lord, no, Master, no, King. Well, Peter finally gets over it. The Holy Spirit speaks and he says, okay, I'll obey. I'll submit. I'll do what you want me to do. And so the men come up and they tell him, listen, we're sent by Cornelius, this Roman centurion, and he told us to come to you and for you to come with us and for you to tell us what you're supposed to tell us. And so they wait till the next day and they go off and Peter gets to Cornelius's house. And guess what Cornelius had done? He does what anybody who finds from God what they've been looking for. He does what anybody would do when God is drawing them by his Spirit into salvation. He invites his relatives and his close acquaintances. And so Peter walks in this room and it's filled with people. He walks in Cornelius' house. Cornelius would have been a wealthy man as a centurion who was over 100 soldiers. And he would have had a nice house. He would have been a wealthy, influential man. And he invited everybody that he knew to do what? To hear the message of God. To hear the revelation of God through a person, through a chosen instrument, Peter. And so he invites everybody, and they're there in the house waiting and just eager and like, okay. And Peter steps in and says, why am I here? And Cornelius says, I got a vision from God, and I was supposed to get you to come. And so tell me what I need to hear. Now, wouldn't this be awesome? Aren't you waiting for this call, Christian? Are you praying for this call, Christian? Do you long to be used by God? What if he called you to go to Hoax Bluff this afternoon to talk to one person or a room full of people? Would you be ready? Would you be sensitive? Would you be open? What if he called you to go on a short-term mission trip to another country for 7 days because he had one person who had responded to the revelation that they had received and who was ready to hear the good news of Jesus? A couple years ago, I was in Indonesia, the largest Muslim-populated country in the world. Maybe I've told you this before, but one of the men that I met, he was a former Muslim. He was a man who was training to be an imam, that is, training to be a Muslim pastor. He was a Muslim evangelist that was trying to win Christians to Islam. And one day he told me, face to face, I looked at him. He told me he was in the mosque, their facility for prayers, and he was praying, and he saw in a vision a light-like figure that said to him, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He didn't know what to do with that. It was confusing. The very next day, a Christian man came to him and shared the good news of Jesus with him. And he immediately believed. And he became a Christian. And he was in an audience of pastors and church leaders that I had the opportunity to teach and train who were going into unreached people group islands of Indonesia and sharing the gospel at the risk of their life. The point is that God is drawing people to himself all over the world. And we get to be a part of that. And are you sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leadership and guidance and voice in your life? Would you move from Gadsden to another place if he called you? Another city in Alabama? Would you move from Alabama to another state? New York. Would you, if God called you, move to another country? Are there any walls in your closet? that you and I have erected that are causing division or gaps between us and other people, even more so between us and God? So Peter's there in the room and they're all gathered and they're basically asking him to share the gospel. And so he does, and he says in simple terms, look, God loves you. I guess is probably where Peter still is. He's like, I'm figuring this out. I guess he loves you. I know he loves the Jews. He was still just engulfed in his ethnocentrism and his cultural superiority, which can happen for us too. And so Peter's telling him, yeah, God so loved the world that he sent his son to die for you, and your sins can be forgiven, and your conscience can be cleansed. And yes, you're dirty, but you can be made clean before God. And it all comes through his son, Jesus, who came. Remember, he was here. And he lived a perfect life, and he died on the cross, and he was resurrected. And if you trust in him, Cornelius, and your whole household can be saved. And lo and behold, you know what happens? Let me take a sip of water first. They believed. Not only Cornelius, but his whole household. And salvation in its fullness enters into his soul. I love this story, don't you? You know what I like about Cornelius? He was a frangelist, I'll call him. A frangelist. You know what a frangelist is, right? Cornelius practiced frangelism. Do you? Frangelism. Friends, relatives, acquaintances, and neighbors. Are you concerned with your friends, relatives, acquaintances, and neighbors knowing the one true God and experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit in salvation? If you are a frangelist or are concerned about frangelism, then you'll do the same thing that Cornelius did, won't you? You will. We just will. We'll invite those people to hear the gospel proclaimed, won't we? And we'll do everything that we can to live that gospel out before them and to share it with them in simple terms where we are. Not building walls between them, but building bridges to them. And mature Christians start thinking like this: is there anything in my life that's an unnecessary barrier to people coming to know Christ? Even if it's a part of my tradition, even if it's a part of my culture, even if it's a part of my heritage. Could I say it this way? To hell with heritage if it's leading others to hell. I don't want any part of my blackness or my whiteness or my Indianness to hinder anyone from knowing God, to be an instrument in God's hands. You know why? Because Ephesians chapter 2 says this. Listen, it's on your outline. For he himself, that is Jesus, is our peace. He's our peace. Who has made us both, in this instance, it's Jews and Gentiles. But it could be any other thing that divides us. He has made us both one. That's the issue. Our Christianity, our membership in the kingdom of God, supersedes every other membership that we have. It supersedes everything. Our allegiance is first and foremost to Christ. And he has made us one. How did he do it? Well, Ephesians 2:14 tells us. He has broken down in his flesh, Jesus has, the dividing wall of hostility. There was a wall of hostility that divided Peter and Cornelius, and Jesus broke that wall down. Why? To connect Peter to God and Cornelius to God and them watch this, to each other in a new race that doesn't diminish their background, in a new ethnicity, a new culture, you might say, a kingdom culture that supersedes everything, where there is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female. But now Galatians 3 says, we are one in Christ. And so, yes, there's part of our heritage and culture that we can appreciate and be thankful for. And it may not even be sinful. But listen to what Paul says as he writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. This is really interesting. He says this, it's on your outline. To the Jews, I became a Jew in order to what? In order to win Jews. You see, Paul wanted to be winsome more than he wanted to be anything else. But here's what puzzles me, Thomas. Here's what puzzles me. He was a Jew. So how does a Jew become a Jew to win Jews? Or he would say it this way as he goes on, I've become all things to all people that I might win some. So if I'm with the barbarians, I'm gonna bar with them. And if I'm with the Greeks, I'm gonna sophisticatedly Greco-Roman with them. And if I'm with the poor, then I'm gonna become poor. If I'm with the rich, don't leave them out, then I can sit with them. And all these things that tend to divide us are unnecessary barriers to people coming to know the one true God, aren't they? And so, this story of Cornelius and Peter and the Spirit of God orchestrating their encounter and salvation in both of their lives and in Cornelius' family's life is a work of God. And so I want to go back to the question that we opened with. There were certainly some walls in Peter's closet. Be honest with God. Are there any walls in yours? And if so, let this morning be a tearing away or a cutting down of those. And become, by God's grace, an even more faithful and fruitful and effective witness to Christ. Become a frangelist to an even greater degree. And invite friends and relatives, acquaintances and neighbors into your life, into your faith family, so that they might hear. And hopefully, by the power of the Holy Spirit and their embracing and not resistance of that, believe and become family with us, regardless of their background. You know why? Because irrespective of the background, God is weaving together a tapestry of grace. And this tapestry of grace that God is weaving together is more beautiful because it's diverse. And it's diverse in every way, which is beyond even culture and ethnicity, which is at the heart of the passage here. But that weaving together of this tapestry of grace that God is working is beautiful and powerful and wonderful, and we get to be a part of it. Now, before I close, the we that get to be a part of it are those who've let the Holy Spirit into our lives, who've let Jesus Christ, the Son, into our lives, who've come to know God as Father, not based on our performance, but based on the performance of Jesus. And so if you haven't done that yet, believe in Him this morning. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll be saved forever. And if you believe today, like we read that Cornelius and his household did, be baptized. Identify with Christ publicly by being immersed and raised up to walk in newness of life. Don't you just love this book? It's wonderful. I'm going to ask Seth to come up as I pray. Father, we thank you for this family that you are creating, that you are molding and fashioning. Thank you for this tapestry of grace, this beautiful work of art. And so, Lord, I pray that even this morning, even as we sing this next song, that your spirit would fall and move among us and lead and guide and direct and do what only you can. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand?